I'm Farai Chidea, and this is News and Notes. This week on Africa Update, we look at a major continent-to-continent meeting. That African-European Union summit ended with mixed results. Plus, we've got news on a bombing in Algeria that's killed dozens. For more, we've got Bill Fletcher. He is a senior scholar with the Institute for Policy Studies and former president of Trans-Africa Forum. Hi, Bill.
Hey, good to be back.
So let's talk a little bit about this African and European Union summit, which I can't seem to pronounce. They met to talk about immigration, security, good governance. Why were they meeting?
To talk about just what you laid out. And they were one of the major issues was matters of trade. And then there was a surprise issue of Zimbabwe President Robert Mugabe.
So Robert Mugabe, obviously a huge controversial figure right now. Zimbabwe, was it invited? Did people want Zimbabwe there?
There were mixed feelings about whether or not President Mugabe should be there, but he was invited, even though the EU has wanted to distance itself from President Mugabe. The problem, though, is that when President Mugabe was there, many of the African leaders I wouldn't say embraced him, but they came to his defense because they felt that he was under assault by the EU. And this really goes back to a very fundamental question about whether the EU has the moral credibility to make any difference in a criticism of President Mugabe or, for that matter, President al-Bashir of the Sudan.
What do you mean by that? What do you mean by the moral authority?
President Gaddafi of Libya actually raised directly that Europe stands where it stands because of the years of pillage of Africa. And although many people in the United States may not get that point or may think it's simply history, it's a living history on the continent of Africa. And therefore, when we see, for example, that the European Union is attempting, at least in my humble opinion, to push through a trade agreement that is not to the advantage of developing Africa, many of the African leaders feel that they are being, frankly, ripped off, and that the European Union wants to have it both ways, that it wants to have trade agreements that are to its benefit, and that it wants to tell Africans how they should be running their countries.
I know there have been a lot of questions about agricultural subsidies, issues of that nature, but I do want to move on to Mugabe. He actually addressed the summit. Here's a little bit of what he said.
They want relations, good relations with us. Then they must be prepared to sit down with us and discuss areas of cooperation. That we are prepared to do, but we are not prepared to have a Britain which sets itself up as a master over us. Who are they after all?
Who are they after all? That's Mugabe's question, but some people's question is, who will stand up to Mugabe? Is there any kind of coordinated effort either between Europeans and African nations or within African nations to say, how can we address this?
Well, yeah, I think it's important for your listeners to listen again to President Mugabe. This is a very eloquent statesman. His words have very little to do with what's actually going on in Zimbabwe, but his words are very powerful and they resonate with much of the continent. And that's one of the things that the European leaders and President Bush do not get, that he's actually touching a nerve. I do not think that the Europeans have any business attempting to resolve the situation in Zimbabwe, to be very honest. The problem is that a number of the efforts that have gone on within the continent by African leaders have been anemic. What we're really talking about, and there's been discussions like this in South Africa, that there needs to be efforts among so-called civil society, non-governmental organizations and movements that put greater pressure on their governments to put pressure on President Mugabe for change. That is what will, in my opinion, will make a difference.
In a strange way, it sounds to me like some of the conversations that go on domestically within the African American community. It's like, well, you'll hear criticism of racism from whites to blacks, but you won't see as much activism about black on black crime. I'm not saying that that's an apt analogy. What I'm saying is that that's how some people structure the conversation in the U.S. Do you think there's anything that ports over to how African nations try to deal with an internal issue like Zimbabwe?
I actually think it's a very good analogy. I think that that what President Mugabe has been able to do by casting the attack on him as fundamentally a racist attack and fundamentally an attack by imperialists, he is able to rally the troops. And many people will close their eyes to abuses that are going on in Zimbabwe against people who were former fighters in the liberation struggle. I think that's why I come back to this has to be dealt with by Africans. Whenever President Bush, for example, or former Prime Minister Blair would open their mouths and talk about Zimbabwe, they simply added fuel to the fire because President Mugabe could say, look, I'm being attacked by the people that violated international law by invading Iraq. And people will nod their head and say, President Mugabe is absolutely right. Africans must address this.
I want to move on to a breaking story out of North Africa. In Algeria today, dozens of people were killed when two car bombs exploded near the United Nations. And the number of casualties could rise as the rescuers count the number of dead and injured. So the New York Times is framing this as a rash of militant attacks in North Africa over the past year. How about the issue broadly of North Africa and terrorism? Do you have any sense of the context?
The context, very importantly, because this happened in Algeria, unfortunately, the U.S. press is not, it tends not to be very historical. There has been a civil war going on in Algeria since 1992. Now, it's slowed down a little bit, but it's been a very brutal civil war on both sides, the government and these Islamist militants. So the first thing that I would think when I heard about this bombing is that it may be tied to that. The second thing is that, yes, there have been acts of terrorism in North Africa. That is true. There is a great deal of despair in North Africa. There's a great deal of economic injustice. And Al-Qaeda and Al-Qaeda-like organizations and other Islamists, right-wing Islamists, have attempted to link into that. I think we have to be very careful, though, in jumping to conclusions as to who is behind this. And again, look at the historical situation.
Well, there's also this question of the UN and how much the UN was located as a target of this attack. It was by the UN offices. Do you think that that was actually a factor?
It may very well be. There is great ambivalence in Africa, the Middle East, Central Asia regarding the United Nations. And the ambivalence in part has to do with the extent to which the United Nations is perceived as actually an arm of U.S. foreign policy. And that perception is a very, very strong one in large parts of this world, but particularly in good chunks of Africa, the Middle East, and Central Asia. The second piece is that there are the clerical fascists, such as Al-Qaeda and such groups, that look at any outside force as being an intrusion in the Muslim world. And therefore, to them, the United Nations is an intrusion, irrespective of whether the United Nations was thoroughly democratic or not. So the UN ends up becoming a very convenient target for assaults like this, horrendous assaults of this character.
Very briefly, how are the U.S. relations with different North African nations? That's a long topic. We don't have time for the whole thing. But in general, does the U.S. make relations with North Africa a priority?
Yes and no. It does insofar as it sees developing its Middle East policy and finding allies in a so-called war against terrorism. And back during the Cold War, it lined up North African allies against National Liberation Forces. The U.S., however, pays very little attention to real economic development in North Africa or healing the wounds that have gone since colonialism.
Well, Bill, thanks again.
Thank you very much.
Bill Fletcher is a senior scholar with the Institute for Policy Studies and the former president of Trans-Africa Forum. He spoke with us from NPR's Washington, D.C. headquarters.